This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills have agreed to terms on a new contract for defensive tackle. Jordan Phillips joined the Bills on a waiver claim from the Dolphins in midseason last year. Played a number of games for the Bills and added a lot of energy to Buffalo's defensive line. He was re-signed today to a one-year deal. He's a former second-round pick of the Dolphins in 2015. 19 tackles for Jordan Phillips last year, two for losses, three pass breakups, and a fumble recovery in 12 games for the Bills. Jordan Phillips re-signed to a one-year deal by the Buffalo Bills. The Bills reportedly are bringing back defensive end Eddie Yarbrough, according to ESPN. He was an exclusive rights-free agent, tendered a contract yesterday by the Buffalo Bills. Yarbrough, 15 games played for the Bills last season. And former Patriots tight end Dwayne Allen making some free agent moves. Reportedly, he has a visit on the schedule with the Bills tonight. The Bills reportedly one of four teams interested in acquiring the former Patriots tight end. The Ravens, Dolphins, Lions also involved. Dwayne Allen, 29 years old, has played with the Colts for 5 years and the Patriots for the last 2 years. Former third-round pick, strong blocker Dwayne Allen, reportedly making a free agent visit with the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City's D Ford and Justin Houston combined for 22 sacks last season, but maybe neither one of them plays for the Chiefs this year. Chiefs put the franchise tag on Ford yesterday. They are listening to trade offers for the outside linebacker, and Justin Houston has been informed the Chiefs are going to try to trade him. They're switching up defenses in Kansas City, and the Chiefs are ready to move some talent. DeMarcus Lawrence got the franchise tag yesterday. The deadline for sides to agree on a long-term deal is July 15th, and it's not anticipated that Lawrence will get to a deal with the Dallas Cowboys. And the New York Giants viewed as unlikely to franchise tag safety Landon Collins, ready to let him, the talented big safety, hit the free agent market. Buffalo Sabres, losers of 8 of their last 10 games, 9 points out of the second wild card spot, the final playoff spot. Last night, Sabres blew a 3-1 lead and lost at the KeyBank Center 4-3. And they move on to play Chicago Thursday. In college basketball, the UB Bulls play at Ohio with a chance to clinch the top spot, the top seed, in the Mid-American Conference Tournament. It is John Murphy, Steve Tasker. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. And joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, fresh off his appearance on the NFL Network for the NFL Scouting Combine. 13 years in uniform for the Buffalo Bills. 6 Pro Bowl appearances, including this last January. Happy to have Kyle Williams on the line with us from his home in Louisiana. You're back home now by now, aren't you, Kyle?
Yeah, I am. I'm enjoying the sun right now.
Yeah, very nice. So good. Are we.
Yeah, sun and 18 degrees. Hey, what did you think of your first major television job over the weekend with the NFL Network? How did you like that?
Well, I mean, what did I think about how I did, or what did I think about the experience? Because,
the experience. I mean, did you like the work?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good time. It was fun to be on the field, you know, kind of get an eye on those guys, get up close and personal with them, visit with a few of them. Actually, I knew a few of them, some LSU guys. There's actually a guy from my hometown that didn't go to LSU that was at the Combine, so it was fun. It was a lot of a unique experience, and first time doing it, I had a good time.
What was your biggest impression of the guys there? I mean, you did it so long ago. I mean, over a decade ago, you were there. What struck you about the guys going through their Combine experience?
It's such a production now, and what I mean by that is, you know, when I went, a lot of the things you did were behind closed doors and then just got reported, and then everybody saw you run the 40, and that was kind of it, right? Now you're getting a live look at vertical jump, broad jump, 40-yard dash. You know, you're getting a live look at all of these things, which is a really cool thing that the NFL has pulled the veil back on it and really kind of invited everyone in. Which has got to be exciting for fans and people that are trying to keep up with their team year-round.
Is it too much, Kyle, the change that you talk about and too much attention paid on everything, pulling the veil back, as you said? People are interested, but does it hamper at all the evaluation of these prospects? They have so much on TV, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think if you try to get into the mind of some of these young guys that are coming out, you know, they probably look at it as another opportunity to shine. You know, when they were in college, a lot of these guys played on TV, and you can guarantee yourself that they circled the games that they were going to be on national TV, that they were doing this, that they were doing that. And I bet it's just another way for them to go, hey, I have another opportunity to, you know, to kind of showcase my talents here.
Did you get a chance to watch Quinnen Williams? And I know that he's set some sort of record for a 300-pound guy running the 40. What did you think of that 40 time from a guy from 300-plus pounds being able to run a 4.8?
You know, running a 4.8 at, you know, 303 pounds is impressive. You know, he's a big guy, moves well. I liked what he did in the individual drills more than I did watching him run a 40, because no matter who drafts him or another guy who runs a really fast 40 time, if that big guy is running 40 yards for you, that is not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not. But watching him move, change direction, go over the bags, do a lot of things that I think are more football-specific was impressive. I really liked what he did the other day.
Who else stood out for you, Kyle? Who else did you like, defensive lineman you were watching on Sunday?
You know, there's a handful of guys. You know, you had some of those defensive ends. You know, Gary from Michigan. I thought that he showed some good moves and a lot of burst on the top end of some of those bag drills. You know, obviously Quinnen Williams for those tackles. You know, wanted to get a good look at Oliver, but he didn't work out. So, you know, there's a handful of guys who really did some good things. You obviously, everybody saw the 4.41 by Sweat. You know, some of the times that these guys are running, you know, are crazy to think about.
If you could change the combine, what would you change?
You know, I think as being a third party this time, someone that's just coming in, I'd love for it to be in a warm weather place, but... Yeah, I mean, that's just hanging out. No, I think that when I went and the sense that I got from a lot of guys that were still there, there's still quite a bit of hurry up and wait involved. Waking up at, you know, 6 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, hurry, 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 and then you really don't do anything until 9. But, you know, some of that is the production part of it. The TV's involved a lot more now. You know, but I just know for those guys who were asking to perform physically at a high level, you know, guy warms up, he runs his 40, well, then he's got 30 minutes until he does the nail drill, or he's got 25 minutes until he jumps. You know, I think it puts them, you know, kind of behind that eight ball, so to speak.
We're on the line with former Bills defensive lineman Kyle Williams, just wrapped up his experience at the scouting combine as an on-field analyst for NFL Network while the defensive lineman worked out. And I want to ask you about another guy, and he still might wind up being the number one pick overall, and that is Bosa. What did you think of Nick Bosa, Kyle, in his workouts?
I think he did a great job. He's kind of the same thing. You know, I guess a lot of these guys are going, oh, well, he ran a 4.8 40. I think that's plenty. I think where he gets his makes his money, so to speak, or where he makes hay is the way that he moves. The tenacity that he plays with, but it's kind of the same thing with Quinnen Williams. Watching him go over the bags, watching him move in a, what would be a football setting was impressive, and you can see why he's so capable on the field.
And you watched the edge guys too, right? You weren't just interior defensive linemen, right?
No, I got to watch all of them.
Well, can I just throw a few names at you, guys that it seems like had pretty good weekends? Brian Burns, defensive end from Florida State. What did you make of him?
I thought that what he did, you know, he's a taller, leaner guy. And, you know, when you watch a lot of these guys, they'll do outside linebacker drills as well. They'll drop into space, cover ground, you know, kind of do some simulated drops. I think of all the guys there, he showed the most capability in space where he could move, cover a lot of ground effortlessly, you know, and he made some sweet grabs too, which a lot of those guys struggled with that ball.
Yeah, it's interesting too because he's so tall and long. To have a guy of that length play well in space is a little bit like a unicorn, right? I mean, those guys really don't do that very well. If you find one that can do it, it's just one more, you know, tall thing that a quarterback has to throw the football over.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, the way he covered ground and he could move around really well. And what I noticed, kind of your point, is when they threw the ball to him after he had done those drills through the middle of the field, and he went up, and you could just see how long-levered and limbed he was and how much space he was taking up in the middle of the field. And now I've never thrown a ball down the seam or thrown a dig route or anything like that, but I can't imagine somebody with that wingspan and that height and size, you know, being a very comfortable target to try to have to throw around.
Cal, you mentioned Montez Sweat, Mississippi State already. I had the opportunity to watch him at the Senior Bowl back at the end of January. And it, as you mentioned, the 40 time is impressive, doesn't mean much. I was just impressed with that guy's makeup. He is about as long a human I've ever seen, and that could mean a lot on the outside as an edge rush guy, right?
Yeah, it can. You know, I got asked the question about leverage and, you know, how these guys use it. Obviously, you know, eyes in those guys, I don't know if it was a joke or a poke at me, but they're like, you know, you've got some built-in leverage, you know, which I do. But, you know, a lot of these guys, those things are tools in their toolbox if they learn how to use them properly. These long-arm, tall guys, if they learn how to play with proper leverage and pad level, you know, those long arms are something that are going to be a big tool for him and his success moving forward.
Let's talk a little bit. The Bills re-signed Jordan Phillips today. You're obviously very familiar with him. He's a teammate of yours last year. And as the Bills kind of enter this offseason, what are your thoughts on where they should head next?
Well, I think, obviously, you know, the big talk are, you know, from the combine, like receiver and offensive line, you know, we signed Jordan back. You know, you got a couple guys coming back up front. You know, they're going to keep adding complementary pieces all across that football team. And one thing I know about Sean and Brandon, they're going to be very calculated on who they decide to pick. They're going to make sure that they fit in, not just physically, but with the culture that they want, their competitiveness, and the toughness that these guys have to show to be a part of their program. So, you know, I think from the combine, you know, you're looking at guys at receiver, offensive line, and obviously, this draft is loaded with defensive guys, and you know you could never make a mistake with a great defensive player with as many as are coming out.
Kyle, Jordan Phillips played a dozen games with you and your Buffalo Bills teammates last year. What did you think of him, and what does he need to do, do you think, now to become maybe a more regular part of the defensive line? Does he have what it takes to line up and play three technique on a every down basis, do you think?
Yeah, Jordan's got the talent to do whatever he wants. He can play, you know, three technique. He can play nose. He's a big, powerful, strong man. So, you know, honestly, it's just honing down the techniques, you know, playing with a lot of effort down in and down out. But he's a big, talented guy that I think is going to help the Bills. I'm glad that they brought him back.
Yeah, 2 years ago, your defense really made a lot of waves because you churned out a ton of turnovers. But statistically, this last season, you were much better and much more solid all the way across the front. And in the back end, and the team ended up only, you know, winning fewer games during that season. What do you think is the most important thing for an NFL defense these days? Is it being a solid defense like you were a year ago, or being, you know, more able to churn out turnovers? Or was it more about getting after the passer? I mean, what do you think the should be the focal point of a defense headed into a regular season?
Well, I think that you grazed on three things that I would say are paramount to a football team, defensive football team. Limiting points, how many points you're allowing. And, you know, yardage-wise, some different things were good. Well, we struggled in some of those areas and in the red zone. But I would say limiting points, turnovers, and affecting the quarterback. Those are three things that you grazed on. And if I were a defensive coach, those are Sean and Coach Frazier, those are three things that they harp on. Those are the three biggest things, in my opinion, that defensively to be successful, to make plays, to put the offense in position to win, those are three really big pieces for what the defense can do.
On the line with Kyle Williams, 13 years with the Bills, defensive lineman, now retired. Kyle, it was almost a perfect script the way your retirement, your last game went. Have you, in the 2 months since you left here, reflected back on just how perfect that was, the way things all came together that final Sunday of the season?
Well, you know, actually the Bills made a book for me of pictures and just kind of recounting the day. And so I've been able to go back through that. And, you know, I was a big pain in the neck or headache that going into that last week, pushing back on a lot of that stuff. But I think I said it in maybe the post-game press conference wherever it may have been. I said, I think the further that I get away from today, the more that I'll appreciate the way that it went. And I can't tell you how many times or how many people, whether it was at the Pro Bowl or even the Combine this week, people come up and they're like, man, what a way to go out.
Yep.
Not a lot of people get to do that. You know, kudos to, you know, the Bills organization and, you know, Terry and Kim and Sean and Brandon, the way that they handled that. And, you know, it really, I obviously value it, but I think it's really cool for lots of different guys throughout the league, lots of different media people, players, coaches, et cetera, come up and recognize, like, A, not a lot of people get to go out that way, which is special, but B, the way that the Bills handled it with total class and appreciation for my time there.
Yeah, it was special, man. It was unbelievable.
They also gave you one last little gift. The NFL gave you one last little gift. You got a call, and you got a chance to play in the Pro Bowl a couple of weeks after that. What did you think about that? Did you have any trouble flipping the switch and saying, oh, by the way, I'm still a professional athlete?
No, you know, honestly, I got asked the question about, oh, well, this is really your last game and this and that, and I really didn't feel that way. And I told the media guys and I told everyone there that the emotion and the feelings and all of those things of my last game are on the field in Orchard Park where they belong. I said the Pro Bowl week was all about taking my kids out, letting them have a good time, let them, you know, kind of go out on a high note. Obviously, Anthony Lynn and I know each other and we were close, and I went to him our first meeting. I said, hey, can I just bring my kids to practice and on the field with me? And just, you know, I just want to check with you. I know that's really not common. He goes, man, you bring them around, you do whatever you want. So, you know, got to bring them on. They're playing flag football. We had to go around them one day at practice. You know, A-Lynn moved the whole team around, my kids, my nephews, and a couple others. They're playing flag football in the middle of the practice field.
Wow.
So they were great to us. We had a great time, and we treated that week like it was just a high note on what was an amazing, you know, fun career.
Cal, you're 2 months into the offseason, the first offseason you've had in 13 years without a team to go back to. Is it any different right now than where you've been in the past, kind of getting ready for another season?
Yeah, you know, I'm really not doing anything now that I normally wouldn't be doing, so I don't really feel panicked or feel that itch yet. You know, I know that my summer calendar and everything has filled up a lot faster because I know there's a lot more free time, but I think strategically I'm filling that time up because I would imagine, or you know, late July, I'm probably going to get antsy and be like, "Oh man, I should be doing something. What am I not doing? I should be getting ready for something." So, I'll take that as it comes. I'm staying busy. I don't sit still very well, so you know, you never can tell where I might pop up.
Well, that's my last question for you. You popped up on TV this past weekend. Is there more TV in the future for you, do you think, down the road?
Maybe. You know, I never say never. I just kind of take things as they come and. Like I said, we'll see. You never know where I might pop up.
We always have a seat for you here, Kyle, for those 35, 40-minute interviews that you love so much.
I know, yeah, those quote-unquote 10-minute interviews.
That's right.
Kyle, it's great to hear your voice. Great job over the weekend. I hope we stay in touch. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. You guys are the best. Thanks.
Thanks. Kyle Williams, Bills defensive tackle, 13 seasons here, 6 Pro Bowls, just wound up on TV, on your TV last weekend on the NFL Network coverage of the Combine. Kyle joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated.
If he's anything like I remember my retirement, first year retirement being, I left because I was done. I was finished. I didn't want to play. I was ready to quit, you know. And if he was truly ready to quit, although he was playing at a higher level than I was when I quit, I didn't get an itch at all.
Never.
Yeah. What it wasn't an itch to play. It wasn't an itch to be a part of the team. It wasn't like I wanted to go work out or felt like I was missing something. It was that I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I didn't know exactly how it was going to feel. I moved right into the booth. I mean, I got a job with CBS.
Right as soon as you got off. Playing,
like
right?
3 months after I got off. Yeah. 3 months. It was like that was in late March that I got the call, or early April that I got the call that I was going to work for CBS. So I had something to think about, and I think that's important. But I didn't miss playing because I remember thinking sitting in the locker room. Before my last game or two, it's like, man, just the stress of being able to play and play well and trying to win and play well for your teammates. I just said, you know, remember this stress when you're done and you think you might want to play again.
Yeah.
You don't need this in your life. So I never really got the itch to play again. I was really happy with my decision. I hope Kyle is too.
I went back today and looked at some of the clips of what Kyle did over the weekend Sunday on NFL Network. He was outstanding. I mean, and we've said it. We've had him on the show. We've asked him, hey, you think you'll coach when you're done? You know, we talk about the job of coaching, how hard it is to coach in the NFL. But I'm telling you, his analysis of those defensive line workouts on Sunday at the Combine was really good, really good, and spot on. And obviously he's just off the field, so he knows exactly where the NFL is now. He's concise. You know, he's clear. He's easy to understand. That might be the target, the ticket for him, right, to be an analyst on TV, maybe a game analyst or
he's certainly
defensive line expert. I mean,
he's certainly comfortable on camera, and that's you know what it really takes. He's got a depth of knowledge. He played for 13 years and played on some really good defenses and played at a high level. So, yeah, and he comes across really well. So, yeah, if he wanted to, I'm sure if he wanted to pick up the phone and stay busy, I'm sure he could find some place that would use his skills.
Yeah, we miss him.
Yeah.
Don't you miss him? I mean, we have no players around now.
Yeah, so I know. Yeah, I miss everybody now. Nobody's around.
Man, he was a go-to guy, man. He was unbelievable. Good for him. Kyle Williams did a great job. Hey, Steve, coming up at 1:30, the guy who may effectively be his replacement, at least right now, Jordan Phillips is going to join us. Before we get to that, we talked about this yesterday, and this came across the yesterday on ESPN. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they held the Super Bowl, right? They've announced a cut in food and beverage prices for a second consecutive year. They're going to drop hot dog prices this year for Falcons games from $2 to $1.50. They'll reduce prices by 11% on 5 of the top items starting Sunday. They're going to start it this week for an MLS soccer game. The fan first menu pricing, they announced it when the stadium opened in August 2017. Spending per customer went up 16% despite a 50% drop in concession prices from the old Georgia Dome. So obviously lower prices mean people are buying more. I love that. $1.50 for a hot dog. Let me give you a few others. Pretzel bites from $5 to $4.50. The ATL Bud Burger from $8 to $7.50. Ice cream waffle cone will be $4.50. It was $5. Chips and salsa from $3 to $2.50. That's the way to go, right?
I agree.
I'll probably get in trouble here at work for saying that, but that's the way to go.
Atlanta's not Buffalo, though. I mean, Atlanta doesn't have the tailgate atmosphere that a Buffalo Bills game does. There's not the places, the open spaces for people to do that. It's not the atmosphere that is in Buffalo, in Atlanta, that it is in Buffalo. So people eat traditionally before they even go to the game.
Where?
You know?
Here?
Here.
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Eat the parking
lot. And I don't have I have no idea what it's expensive to eat in the stadium.
Here? Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know whether that would change anything or not if you drop the prices. I know it.
Well, it did in Atlanta. Why wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Love that.
Maybe not.
Hey, we're going to talk with Jordan Phillips. He is here. He's going to be sitting on our set in a moment. So come on back. Jordan Phillips just signed a one-year deal, a renewal with the Bills. He's coming up on the show, One Bills Live, presented by Collada Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Texas. So we just get off the line with Kyle Williams, and the guy who has a good shot of replacing him in the lineup joins us now. Just signed to a new contract, a one-year agreement with the Buffalo Bills. Defensive lineman Jordan Phillips joins us. Jordan, thank you for joining us. Congratulations. We're really happy.
Thanks for having me, and I'm happy as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Steve can attest to this, right? We did our show a couple weeks ago. Specific things the Bills need to do. What did I have number one on my list?
Re-sign Jordan Phillips.
Yes. Yes. I said they got to re-sign Jordan Phillips just because you provide a link to what they've done, and obviously you played well, ton of energy. And that's one less thing they got to worry about now that you are signed, right? You must feel a little bit like that.
You know, I wanted to be here. I'm happy we could come to agreements and get me back. So I'm pleased with everything.
Don't let it creep you out that Murph is kind of like, you know, Jordan Phillips fanboy. No. Don't let it creep you out.
The more fans I can get, the better.
Right.
It is.
I'm with you, right?
Jordan, here's the thing. Some guys in your situation would say, shoot, I'm going to see what I can get on the market. I'm going to go out there in free agency. But you weren't interested in doing that right now?
No, I just didn't feel like it was necessary. Just, you know, my career hasn't been what I wanted it to be. And Buffalo gave me an opportunity. And I felt like we should reap the benefits of the success that I'm going to have.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You, more than anybody, would know the contrast of having been on another team, even this last season, to come to Buffalo. Talk about why – I'm going to ask you, why is the culture here important? It seems to be a lot of what the coaching staff talks about. It seems to be what the players like about the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the direction the team's headed. What can you tell us about how different it is and what guys around the league as well as here in Buffalo say about culture and how important it is?
Without culture, you don't really have anything. It's the same thing kind of as an identity. You don't really – coaches preach and everything like that, identity. But if you can't find one, then what are you? What are you? You can't find yourself, and you don't win like that. And culture ties right into that. If you don't have a culture, then what's the point? You know, everybody's out doing their own things. as far as the little things just in the locker room, like picking up your stuff and stuff like that. It's just everything you need here is here. There's not much to do in Buffalo, so it's really family oriented. It's just, if you really just want to play football and maximize that, Buffalo is the place to be.
Buffalo's a little different than Miami.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did that culture here hit you? So the Bills pick you up, I think, first week of October, right? They're getting ready to play the Tennessee Titans,
yep.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you came in here on, what, a Monday, Tuesday, probably that week?
Yep.
When did it hit you? Like, oh, this is a little different here. This is a different kind of atmosphere here.
Well, I came in the Tennessee week, and I said, well, let's see what we can do here. Let's see how they react to me, and we'll see. And after that, it kind of just took off. You know, I guess there hasn't been a real crowd pleaser here in a while, and I'd love to take on that role, and it worked out well.
Were you surprised you step on the field when they're playing the Titans, the intensity, the crowd? Because you had played here with the Dolphins, I'm sure. But you saw how many people and how they reacted to plays. Did that take you by surprise at all back then?
Yeah, just because everything you hear about Buffalo is normally not good, and you just got to be here to really experience what goes on here.
Talk about, you know, this direction of this team. They get Josh. You've seen him play. You practice against him. You know that this is a team. You had a really solid defense of which you were a part of. Talk about the outlook. I mean, there seems to be, and we've been laughing about it and joking. This was a really happy 6-10 franchise right now because they really feel like this is teams on a springboard to better things.
Well, I mean, if you look at last season, I don't really want to dwell on it too much, but there was a few games that we should have won that we lost, and we could have finished the season at least 9-7. And if we just didn't have a couple hiccups, you know, our season would be completely different. And if you look at those things, and we're a young team, and the more mature we get, the more leaders we have, those 6-10 is easily going to turn into 9-7 and up from there. So it's hard to say that we're not going to go somewhere, I guess.
Right. We're telling you, we just got a phone with Kyle talking about his TV work over the weekend, but Kyle is gone, and I wonder if that factored into your decision at all. Like, that guy ate up a lot of snaps, he's a very good player, but there might be more snaps for you now with Kyle gone, huh?
Like I said at the end of last season, the Bills are looking for a new starting three technique, and I felt like I'm the best person for that opportunity, and I hope I can go earn that job.
What is it that makes you a strong three technique? What are the attributes, the traits that you have to be effective at that position?
Well, people my size normally play nose. They normally play the shade, but I can move with the best of them. Strong, athletic, long.
Explain what a three is, what a three technique is, because not everybody knows.
So three technique is more of, I wouldn't say he's more of the athletic guy, but he's more of the sideline to sideline.
It's a little bit where you line up as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So explain that.
Okay, so the guards, you're going to be, this is so hard, right shade on the guard. I don't know.
Outside shade. Outside shoulder of the guard, whichever guard it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, and you just count from the zero, which is the nose of the guy snapping the ball, and you go out one, two, three. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the outside edge of the guard. That's where you're going to be. And it's hard to play that because, and tell me why it's different than if you lined up 3 feet inside.
Just because there's more space to work with. You wouldn't think that has a lot to do with, but just that little half a second where your hands have to be faster, your feet have to be better, you have to be more explosive. It's just,
when the offense picks a direction to run, that sets how much space you're going to have to run to, and you're going to have to run somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't ever see them, the quarterback sneak, okay, that's one thing, but they don't really hand it off and run it right up inside. You're going to have to run someplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the three technique here plays a little bit different because the Bills are so gap oriented and everything like that, so it's hard to say that's true, but it's like as long as you do your job, you're good.
Right.
So everybody does their job, everybody's good.
Came here today and signed this contract. Did you meet with any coaches or coaching staff today while you were here?
Yeah, I met with everybody. I still have to meet with Coach McDermott, but all the talks went well. Everybody's real excited.
It seems like your signing can be a thing that gets them, you know, they have free agency in 8 days. They have the draft coming up in 7 weeks. But getting you in the fold is almost like, okay, that piece is in place. Is that the way they sort of present it to you now? Or?
I haven't really talked to anything about that, honestly. I mean, I've been doing my own recruiting, trying to get people here. So,
Yeah.
So
give us some names. Who are you talking
about? I'm gonna leave that out. But yeah, sure enough, we're trying to build something great here.
So the next step is mid-April. You'll be back here for OTAs and that kind of thing. And when do you start? And we talked to Kyle. He's shut it down. I mean, that guy's usually retired. What about you? When do you turn it back on and start to? You know, I know a lot of guys take a few weeks, maybe a month or two off to recoup. What's your schedule and when do you get back? I know you're going to be back for OTAs, but before that, when do you start?
I mean, I'll be back when we report back I think it's April 14th, but I've already started all my workouts and everything. Just trying to get my body better than it ever has been. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, Jordan, what is it about home games versus road games? And do you feel like you need to kind of ease up or, you know, not ease up, kind of like even out your performance, home versus road? Do you feel like that's a necessity for your future?
Yeah. It's really easy to play with a lot of energy on home games just because you got the crowd, you got everybody, and that gets me going as well. And then away games is a little different just because every away game I try to find one person that's talking a lot in the crowd, and that's what gets me going. It's just – And then I pick a fan and I say, all right, it's going to be me and you all game. And so I try to get him riled up. I try to go make plays and come back and talk what I need to talk to him and then go back out there and do it again.
What comes to your mind when you think about this coming regular season? What jumps out at you most about re-signing with the Bills, knowing what's in place here already? What's the most exciting aspect of it for you?
Just to really show the Bills and across the league that I'm a top DT in this league. It's been a long time, and I've been in the shadows of a lot of great players with Sue, and this last year with Kyle. I feel like it's really my time, and I'm not going to let it go.
And you got a chance with a 1 year deal to show that and, you know, capitalize on it at the after a year, right? Mm-hmm. That's got to be kind of a motivating force for you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, my last 2 years. My Miami, you know, I thought after my third year I was going to get an extension there. Fourth year, I thought I was going to get an extension, then ended up getting cut and brought here. And I was like, okay, well, my big payday is not coming. Mm-hmm. So now it's really just taking it one day at a time and quit looking so far ahead and do what I need to do.
Any regrets about how it ended in Miami?
I wouldn't say it was any regrets just because it just took me a little time to grow. And once I finally grew up and was ready to do what I needed to do, my time there was over. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy that this is the place where I'm going to flourish.
We looked it up. You're 26. You'll be 27 in September.
Mm-hmm.
This should be the prime of your NFL career right now, I would think, entering into it now. Right?
100%. And like I said, I'm happy I'm in Buffalo to flourish.
We're happy to have you here. Thank you for coming
Congratulations again. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks. Jordan Phillips joining us. Just signed to a new contract with the Bills, 1 year deal. He agreed to terms today. Happy to have him in studio. Steve and I coming back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. Happy to have you with us here. And really happy to have Jordan Phillips in studio. You know, you see him on the field at home games especially. He's all fired up and ready to go and into the crowd. And he's sort of subdued when we get him here. But there's
a very calm.
I like that about him. And look, he's got the right idea here, Steve. Sign a 1 year deal, as he said. You know, he's going into his fifth year in the league now.
Yeah, and his career hasn't. He admitted it. He goes, it hasn't been everything I wanted it to be.
Right, and now he's got a chance. 1 year deal.
Yeah.
He'll be a free agent
he's
a year
26.
From now. If he, so I look it up. He played 25% of the defensive snaps in his time in Buffalo last year. If he plays 50% and plays well, he'll break the bank if he hits a free agent market next year. He really will. And that's got to be what's in the back of his mind a little bit, along with helping the Bills win, which he mentioned over and over and over again.
Yeah, he's sitting in a great spot. I think he made a very wise decision signing a short-term deal with Buffalo. Yeah. I think Buffalo is very happy to have him back. It gives them some stability up front, a guy who knows their system and has been and played well in it, knows their culture, fits their culture, and is one of those guys on game day that gives them a little something, you know. I think it's a win-win all the way around, and we'll see if Jordan Phillips can springboard into something – more lucrative after he has a great year in Buffalo.
Happy to have him here. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. We'll go back and review some of the measurements, some of the things going on at the Combine with her. She's an expert on mathematics and analytics, and we'll talk with Cynthia Freeland coming up at 2 o'clock. We've got time for you right here, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-5550. Our question, over the next couple of months here, 7 weeks until the draft, what can the Bills do personnel-wise that will help Josh Allen the most this offseason? What can they do to help him the most? We know they got to do a lot. They have a lot of needs personnel-wise, but what can they do the most to help Josh Allen this offseason? Give us a call. Let us know what you think, or you can weigh in our Twitter poll. On the poll right now, what can the Bills do to help Josh Allen the most? 71% say rebuild the offensive line. 24% say pick up some wide receivers. 2% say add a tight end or two, and 2% have something else in mind. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to discuss. Rich and Clarence has been waiting patiently. He'd like to discuss. Rich, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi.
I have to agree with Steve, offensive line. You need offensive line for a running game, and which would help Josh Allen. Also, keep him upright and able to have time to pass the ball. That's why I'm agreeing with Steve as far as offensive linemen. John, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You know my son, Mark Traina. He works the scoreboards at the Bills games.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's my son.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
There you go.
Thanks.
This is Dad Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Nice talking to you guys.
Thanks for checking in. I agree with Steve, too. I think offensive line. But I understand why people might vote receiver, Steve, especially if there's a premium receiving talent, which some people believe DK Metcalf could be. It'd be hard to pass him up for an offensive lineman in the first round and the Bills have to do, and they will do the work the next 7 weeks to examine Metcalf and see exactly what he might provide. But if he's available there at 9, boy, it'd be hard to pass him up and go for an offensive lineman there because the need is great at both positions, I believe.
I don't know. I certainly and we can look this up. I mean, he came out of Ole Miss, and their pro day, I've got all these pro days here. He's coming up in mid-March. I think you got to go in there and look at him and let him run routes and get, you know, you got to dig deep on this guy. If you're going to draft him high in the draft, you got to find out about him. And that means watching the guy move, coaching him, giving him things to do on the field and see if he can get them done. Talking to his coaches, you're right. I mean, you got to do a deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this guy does turn out to be, you know, something special, but until
he could be something special,
right?
Based on the and look, I'm only saying based on the combine tests.
Yeah,
Metcalf could be something special. I want to know more based on the combine.
His pro day is March 29th at Ole Miss, and it's at 9 a.m. And you can bet the Bills are going to be standing there with front row seats, along with a lot of other people. Yeah, that's a guy that physical specimens like him, and we go through this every year at the draft time and then with the combine. These guys, they get off the bus and it's like, wow, look at that guy. How can he not be an all-pro player? Well, you see those guys every year, and not very many of them turn out to be that way. So there's always something that drags them down or keeps them from being exactly or everything that you think they could be just by looking at them and with testing them and, you know, measuring how tall and high and how much they can jump. There's so many things you don't know. So your ability to find all that stuff out says how good that guy's going to be and how badly you've got to have him. And I don't know, though. Number 9 pick, that's a big jump for a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, if he's great, I don't care.
Well, I don't either, but you don't know if he's going to be great.
It's a big jump for a guard.
You don't know he's great until 5 years down the road.
Well, you might know sooner than that. I hope you can know sooner
maybe
than that. On the tweet sheet, what will help Josh Allen the most this offseason? Nick tweets in, Bills need a solid O-line and several weapons at it. If he has some time, he's talking about Josh, he's proving he can hit the big play. Give him weapons, capitalized. Draft and sign free agents, capitalized. Need at least 2 free agent wide receivers and 1 wide receiver drafted in the top 2 rounds, in my opinion. Very specific. Very good. Thank you, Nick.
That's a good one.
Tom Lovell tweets this in. The need for receiver is not as bad as we think. Zay Jones is primed for a breakout year because most smaller, quick receivers take a few years to find steady production. Look at Antonio Brown, Hopkins, etc. We all love what Foster has to offer. We do love what Foster has to offer. I don't know if I'm buying into the theory that Zay Jones is primed for a breakout year
right,
because of most smaller, quick receivers. I don't know. I'd need some evidence of that, I think.
That's a stretch, particularly.
And I need to see more from Zay than I've seen. You know, up until the last half dozen games last year, I thought he was a bit of a disappointment last year, Zay Jones.
Yeah, and I think that remains to be seen is how good he's going to be and how what he has more to offer. I think it's maybe on Zay Jones, if you're looking at it critically, why was Robert Foster able to come in and kind of steal the show at the end of the game? And this was an undrafted guy in Robert Foster. So, you would think a higher draft pick than Zay Jones, a guy drafted as high as he was, would be able to hold a guy like Robert Foster off and exert himself, but he didn't do that. We also have from Matt Rowley on the tweet sheet, and this gets into all the moving parts we've been talking about. All this talk about drafting or signing a wide receiver in free agency, do you think the Bills could trade for a number one wide receiver from a team maybe trying to break it down and rebuild, like A.J. Green from the Bengals perhaps? Yeah, that's always a possibility. I think here's what you can look for, though, right, Murph? Either back me up or tear me down on this.
Pleasure.
If guys like A.J. Green of his caliber, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, T.Y. Hilton, go down the list. If guys like that are going to become available on the trade market, you hear that first before you hear about the deal. Right, and I haven't heard anything about those guys being available in a trade.
In fact, just looking it up here, A.J. Green entering the final year of his contract with the Bengals. Reportedly, the Bengals are highly unlikely to trade him.
Yeah,
they love that guy. He's also 30 years old. Do you want to trade a ton to get a 30-year-old receiver? Yes, I'm sure he's got effective years left, but wouldn't you rather have a younger guy than 30, at least 26, 27, so you can think – we're going to have him for 7 years, 8 years. A.J. Green, how long will he be effective at age 30, 31? 3 or 4 more years,
well,
maybe?
I'll tell you what. I don't mind this either, Murph. And let me float this little balloon out there.
Do it.
Why not sign a guy like A.J. Green or find a guy like A.J. Green? Sign him to a one-year deal.
Why?
If he's 30 years old. Tell him to prove it. Make it worth it for him.
And then be in the same boat next year? I don't know about that.
If you're on the cusp
of a Super Bowl, but I don't think the Bills are
you
there.
You won't be in the same boat next year because next year you theoretically will have three offensive linemen signed to longer-term deals, and they won't be all up. You won't be looking for 16 holes in your offensive line. You can draft a receiver high in the draft next year. You know what I mean? You won't be in the same position next year. You'll have one position like wide receiver where you got to replace one guy, one major guy, hopefully one superstar guy. That doesn't mean you can't re-sign him, but you'll have some of these holes fixed this year.
Yeah. Look, I think that seems like a scrambly way to do it, though. I want to get a young or rookie wide receiver who can grow with Josh Allen. Sign a 31-year-old guy, and say, well, maybe we'll get somebody else next year. It's kind of like that's a stopgap. That's what you do when we need one piece to win a championship.
Yeah,
the Bills
I don't know.
Aren't there.
I think you do that. I think you do that if you find a guy that can help you win games now. And if you can, listen, you can worry about next year. Next year, you got these guys. You're going to get some guys lined up in this draft. Hopefully, you're going to get out of these 10 picks that the Bills have, only three of them are in the top 70 or in the top 100. So you're going to hopefully you can find maybe 2.5 to 3 players out of these 10 that are actually going to go in this year and plug in and say, okay, he's helping us. He may not be a star, but at least he's helping us.
Yeah.
You can do that. And
so, be a stopgap. I want long-term.
Yeah, but you might have a better stopgap next year than you do this year.
You might even get a better guy. You might not.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you can always find a guy. I mean, it's not like nobody wants to play for you. I mean, I think the league has changed to a certain point. Like, we are still, you and me are old guys. And I remember that, and I think this too. You think you can put a team together and hold it together for 5, 8, 10 years.
I'd settle for 3 or 4.
It doesn't happen. No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
because
there's
too many guys that are being thrown to the curb. Their contract's out. He wants too much money. He outplays his contract. Now you've got to pay him, and you can't pay him. I think now the league is such that you've got to keep guys on shorter-term contracts and make sure you're flexible enough every offseason to fill certain holes, different holes than he did the year before. So I don't have a problem. Sign an older guy for a year.
Mm. I'd rather have a long-term solution. But I
get you, but, that's how you get Marcell Dareus. You know, you get a guy, you sign it, pay him all that money. He takes it out of gear. Now you wish you didn't have him.
That's a whole different story.
We're going to It's a result of the same problem.
Nope.
Oh, yes, it is.
We got Cynthia Freeland coming up from the NFL Network, a little combine recap with her. Come on back for that. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.